Right, so Visual Studio 2013 launch. That's freaking awesome. Congratulations, everybody who worked on it. Really happy to have some people that are part of that program. C++, Visual C++ 2013. We have Tarek, Ale, Herb. Right off the bat, why don't you go ahead and give yourself a little introduction so people know exactly what you do.
Sure, I'm Tarek Madkur. I work on the Visual C++ team. I'm the group program manager. We create all the parts of Visual C++, like the starting from the IDE all the way down to the code generators and the libraries.
Nice.
And Alec.
I'm Alec Contenti, the dev manager for Visual C++. I mean, we work together with Tarek basically every day.
Yeah.
And seem too much. And you know, we do the same libraries, compilers, IDE,
awesome,
graphics, whatever you need, guys.
Great.
I get to work with them and all that kind of stuff, as well as language stuff at Microsoft and also externally in the ISO C++ committee, where I'm one of a number of people, usually five or six people that we send to participate there. So we're active internally and externally as part of a global community.
Excellent, man. So right off the bat, let's talk about some of the new things in 2013 that you guys are stoked about, that you've built.
Oh, we built quite a number of things. I'm sure we'll go into all mm-hmm. of them in detail. One of the things that we're very proud of course, is conformance. We ask people, why do you use C++? And they say, we use it for performance, we use it because it's compatible and conformance, and we use it because we develop cross-platform stuff. So we added a lot in the conformance space in terms of C++ 11 and C++ 14 conformance, which I'm sure Herb's going to love to talk a lot more about.
Right.
We added
sure,
more
I
in
have some questions.
Performance and making your code run faster, because that's really why a lot of people use C++. They really want to make sure that their code runs very, very fast, and we continue to make that happen more. And we added a new library that we are very proud of, Casablanca, the C++ REST SDK, which allows you to basically you communicate with cloud services and do things easily, like HTTP and JSON and asynchronous streams. We added a lot of productivity because you still want to be performant, you want to be conformant, and you want to do all that, but you want to be productive. So we added a lot of things in the IDE that make you very, very productive, mm-hmm. and quite a bit more. But that's sort of the highlights.
Right.
Absolutely,
yeah. I would say yeah.
So I mean, in terms of Herb, in terms of the language, as we wait, please ask questions, everybody out there. You know the drills. Channel 9 Live. You drive the conversation. You don't want me asking all the questions, so ask. In terms of language conformance, you guys have made a lot of progress since going native 2011, was it? Or was it 12? Thank you. It's too many, too long ago.
Too many numbers.
So you made that canonical statement that, hey, we're going to put all of our things in a thing and we're going to make it happen. So, tell me about where have you actually landed now with conformance?
So we're making progress, mm-hmm. like Tarek mm-hmm. said. We're not done, clearly. So we have a ways to go yet. But one of the things about it was, as we continue to reinvest again in the front-end team to catch up mm-hmm. with the conformance, the good work that other compilers like GCC and Clang are doing as well, which we love. It advances the whole C++ community. We want to be there too. One of the things we did was reinvest in the compiler team, both as the in terms of numbers, but also in terms of the quality and rejuvenation of the compiler internal code base, because it's a compiler that's been around and used for a long time.
Mm.
So part of that is you get a pipeline effect. You start a lot of work in flight, but you don't immediately get a lot of visible results. And so then when we shipped VS 2012, there were some conformance improvements. There were a couple of small ones in the previous one, mm-hmm. but there were some conformance improvements. We've delivered a lot more in this release that's just become available now than in the past release just a year ago. So we're actually proud of that. But we also know we've got a bunch left to go. And so that's why we've shared a conformance roadmap to get to full C++ 14 conformance. Mm-hmm. And so we're continuing to be hard at work on that. Oh. And of course, there's a CTP coming this quarter, and that
Excellent.
Will have even Thanks. More conformance beyond what we shipped.
It's really to show the slope that we are on.
Yeah, and people can extrapolate trajectories. But
awesome.
So hey, we have questions from our distinguished colleagues out there. This is a good one. So, our company really wants to move all of our code to Visual C++ specifically. So we want to use Visual Studio, we want to use Visual C++. Is it easy for us to take our existing C++ assets and move them in to the Visual C++ world? Do we have tools that will analyze and check?
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations on a good choice. It's very wise of you to do that. We do have quite a number of tools. One of the things that we do, of course, is one of the reasons why we care about standards conformance and making sure that the top libraries are supported with our compiler is that we want people who are who desire to use different compilers to be able to use ours easily. Mm-hmm. And because of our conformance and because of how we support other libraries, that's definitely one of the ways to kind of make it easier for you if you compile with something else now to kind of bring it into our compiler. But in addition to that, we have a couple of things in the IDE that helps you if you're just starting. One of them is going in, if you already have a source space, it's not set up for Visual Studio, you don't have projects and solutions and all these things. There are a couple of ways to bring it in. The best entry point is file new project and project from existing code. And that way you could just point to the directory and do that. And we released this thing, Ali, maybe you want to talk about it a little bit, the PDB project plugin, which is actually a very nice way if you've already built a binary and executable once you have the executable built, to create and a beautiful PDB project that is editable from the IDE, if you want to add more about that.
Well, if you have the PDB information, basically in the PDB, PDB is really the database where we store all the symbols and information to debug. We actually store a lot of information about your source code, where you actually compile from and so on. And so we can just mine that and create a project on the fly for you to start. But, I want to say that, it's an industry strength compiler. We do a lot of our development with Visual Studio and with our compiler, so you're definitely, it's a good choice. I think, there is a lot of code that can definitely, compile very well, and so.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys compile little things like Windows.
Yes, or Office.
Exactly.
Or SQL.
So we have a question from the audience. The most important questions are coming from these people. Let's see, everyone always wants to know about a C++. Maybe we should just talk about this. Let's just talk about it, right? So will there be a modern UI framework based on XAML, C++, blah, blah, blah. A lot of things that C++ developers seem to be asking for is a cross-platform UI layer, right? So we have things like Qt and blah, blah, blah. We wrote one called XAML with C++ underneath and for WinRT and Windows Phone. I actually can't use it on Windows Phone, but yeah, that's his question. Is there going to be any work on a portable C++-driven UI framework? What's Microsoft's position? Blah, blah, blah.
We're working on it. So that's one of the things that we're working on as we work together as a developer tools division, together with the Windows and platform teams. Those are the kinds of conversations that we have. And because you want to surface those things to developers in a developer-friendly way, developers are the ones asking these questions.
They are.
So I can tell you we're talking about those kinds of things. And once we have something to share that is concrete and actionable, we'll let people know.
Awesome. Definitely on our radar.
Beautiful.
Absolutely on our radar.
So when Kirill wants to know, when will we see new factorings or new features in the IDE, such as new refactorings, renaming, members, variables, functions, etc.? Mm-hmm. So you guys have done a lot of great work in 2013.
Right.
What's next?
Tarek, you might care about this.
Sure, sure. I definitely am very passionate about getting your refactoring sometime soon. With that said, what we've really been focusing on is to have a good refactoring experience. One of the things we absolutely want to make sure to do is the day we put out a refactoring tool, that it is something that is going to be valuable, is not going to be just working on small toy projects and not working on real source bases that use heavy use of templates and some interesting modern C++ features. So we've been building out the plumbing that we actually need to, once we go out with something, it's something that is good and respectful that you would actually use and find valuable for your scenarios. We're working on it, and I don't have anything to share yet as to
I have something to share.
You want to share it now? Ooh. Okay, Ali is going to share.
But maybe, yeah, pretty much. But I think it's going to be in a couple of weeks. We go out with a very small prototype, really to test the waters.
Yes.
Absolutely, what Tarek said. We really want to do a good job. And, it's pretty hard to do refactoring very accurately on a very complex code base with all the C++ complexity in parsing and so on. Mm. But we want to show you what we can do right now and what we are projecting, to try to do, really to get your feedback. So we are putting out a small prototype that you can install on top of Visual Studio 2013 to actually do some, the rename refactoring and try it out and see what works, what doesn't work. Is it good enough for you, for your, what you need, and so on. So,
cool.
Look out for Channel 9 on our VC blog.
So we have a lot of questions coming in.
Make sure that that you follow. If somebody's interested in refactoring, make sure they follow our VC blog, and we will have something there about the plugin that Ali's talking about.
So for those of you that need all the refactoring stuff, it's coming. So we have a bunch of questions here. Okay. Let's play the game of ask the question. Let's try to keep the answers okay. relatively succinct so we can get them all in. It's okay. a wonderful thing. You have
thanks,
so many questions.
Yeah,
I guess C++ matters, man. I mean, there's people that actually
you know,
use
saying
it.
That for a few
years.
Actually,
right yeah. on. So right off the bat, hey, Herb, Peter wants to know, can you give an update on the progress in SG13? Graphics.
So SG13 is doing work in graphics space. That has just got started. In fact, I just talked about it last month. I guess it's almost 2 months ago now, going native. So we're doing work. We're going to have a small meeting here next week just to start getting the ball rolling. And we're currently looking at options and scope. So it's expect to hear more over the next year. I hope to have at least something to share about what progress is being made.
Awesome. Zill wants to know, actually not Zill, there was something on there that's no longer on there. I'm going to ask it anyway. This person wanted to know when can they use C++11 in, say, compact embedded development. So when are we going to see C++ kind of merge a little bit closer to the machine where traditionally C is living? Mm-hmm. That's one way to look at it. What are some of the thoughts there?
Yeah.
Sorry that I don't know your name. But
we shipped, the VS 2012 compiler now mm-hmm. is the compiler you can use for C.
Great.
It's not the 2013.
Yeah. For CE, right?
For the latest version of CE. For the latest version of CE is at the 2012 level. Mm-hmm. We are, of course, working with Windows CE to see when they're going to ship the next version, when they're going to line up to VS 2013 and plus. But already with 2012, to compare to what you had before, you have a much more conformant. You have lambdas, you have,
auto range four,
yeah.
Great.
And a few features like that. So
variadic templates.
And the new STL, well, no variadic templates, uh-huh. but the new
no
STL.
No variadic templates? What,
not
you guys don't want that?
Not in 2012.
Not right. in 2012.
When they get the next
one. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh. The numbers are.
All right.
But the STL right on, is man. The updated one, so it's
perfect.
Nice. It's a nice set of libraries. Yeah.
So any C++ unit test IDE improvements in 2013 specifically?
I would have to go check exactly what
sure.
What we did in that space. I know we did improve our unit testing in general, and one of the things that we were doing is kind of open up unit testing for some of the de facto standards in unit testing for C++. Mm. Exactly what we have in that space, I'm actually not an expert on it, so I don't know unless one of you guys knows on it.
So one of the questions I'd ask, is, and we'll get back to some of those, I think this is a good one that's also coming from the community, you know, reading blogs and tweeting and stuff like that. In some sense, with all the greatness that's coming in C++ 11 and 14, mm-hmm. and the way that the language is simplifying, mm-hmm. it's less complex, it still does advanced
powerful,
things, but powerful, yeah. performant, blah, blah, blah. I still have a lot of old code. Mm-hmm. And that old code doesn't necessarily know what to do with a smart pointer. For example, mm-hmm. or with any of these other advanced constructs. Like, how do I think through as a developer coming from the old world and the old school to this new school and how to match them together efficiently and effectively?
Well, so there's really two parts to that answer. The first and most important part is C++ has a great backwards compatibility right. story. All that code still works, mm. just like it always has. Right. So now, as you want to adopt, you have really two main options. So you can go and you can go back to your existing code, see where did I use a pointer that's an owning pointer? Because non-owning pointers are still perfectly fine. If they as long as point to something that outlives the pointer, mm-hmm. they're perfectly fine for observation.
Okay.
If you have owning pointers, you can go through your code base and change those to unique putters or, where appropriate, shared putters. But you don't have to do that. Your option is do it in new code, which interfaces nicely with the old mm-hmm. code. And if you call something existing that uses a pointer, you call .get. So you can do it for new code, or you can go and take the upgrade for your entire code base, but you don't have to, because
okay.
all that code works just like it always has.
Right.
And actually, you know, it will work like it always has, and actually compile, you know, and run faster.
Yes.
Most of the cases, right?
So
where
then,
you move to a new compiler toolset because yes. of the changes we made in the backend, the optimization that we have, and so on.
Yeah. In fact, there's two reasons why. Sometimes people wonder, well, why should I pick up the new compiler if I'm not using the features? Well,
yes.
first of all, the optimizer always gets better, and second, the language itself. Picking up a C++ 11 compiler, your code will generally run faster because of move semantics. So any code that uses STL, for example, mm-hmm. and has movable types, will just light up, and you didn't have to say std move anywhere.
Awesome.
Just like exception safe. Safety is not about writing try catch.
Right.
Using move semantics is not about writing std move. It
and
just
it's
lights
not only
up.
The STL, is other libraries
yes.
out there that you use, maybe Boost, maybe OpenCV.
And that actually brings up a really interesting point, because even if you have two compilers, compiler A, compiler B, from company A, company B, right? They both generate different code. And this is what I mean. Backend compiler optimizations aren't going to be exactly the same. Yeah. There is no standard there, mm-hmm. right? So what I would say with Visual C++ that's impressive is the fact that you guys are doing, you know, automatic vectorization, automatic parallelization. That's getting better and better and better, taking advantage of modern hardware. Yeah. I get that for free.
Mm-hmm. As an optimization,
as you mentioned. So that's actually kind of an interesting point that we always talk about the front end, but the back end is also...
Our goal charge is that every time you pick up a new compiler, your code is going to run faster, and we're going to use more of that modern hardware and more of the surface area of that hardware, and consequently...
Right on.
Let me just say as a statement, and I know I speak for all of us and for the whole team, for Visual C++, what Tarek said, every release... existing code should run faster. If you just recompile it with the new compiler and do nothing else, but we don't view that as a feature. We view that as table stakes.
Okay.
You have to do that, and unless there's really unusual reasons in particular cases, mm-hmm. but that's just what you should expect.
For sure. And then there's that delicate dance that you have to play with the people that have to make the optimizing compiler and all that stuff. Provably correct code and very efficient. Then you want to throw new features on it, but they have to balance out.
So it's a big battery of test cases and real world code built inside Microsoft and outside Microsoft that we compile every night. Make sure that continues.
And the advances,
beautiful.
Yeah, we made in the vectorizer are very similar to the problem you were talking
cool.
about.
Cool. So let's move on. Romain Carter wants to know: will MASM have a place in Visual C++ 2013?
Oh, man.
Thank you. Luan wants to know, when will we see better refactor support? Luan, we already answered that. You will. Could you say more about C++ AMP shared memory? In fact, you haven't said anything about it. So.
Right. So we have invested in this release in C++ AMP quite a bit. If you look mm-hmm. about a month ago on VC Blog when we announced the improvements in Visual C++ 2013, AMP was one of the high-level six or so things.
Okay.
And in particular, evolving C++ AMP with better optimizations and support for modern hardware, where it's not just that you're running code on a discrete GPU card that doesn't share memory and you have to copy back and forth, but more and more you get integrated GPUs and are able to use shared memory directly. So we've done a lot of work in this release along with the Windows team to make sure that really lights up and you get those speed improvements, and we're seeing those. Mm-hmm. And you can expect continued investment in C++ AMP, but that's one of the big things we did this time.
I want to give people sort of who are watching a pointer to C++ AMP, because I, you know, every time I go out and meet with customers and all that, I discover that, you know, some people know about it and they really love it, and some people, that, you know, it's the first time they hear about it. So it's kind of good to tell everybody about this as a technology. And C++ AMP basically is a way for you, if you want to target more than just the CPU, let's say, for example, the GPU, to be writing C++ code. That our
file.
Code generator, like you just have one CPP file and, you know, you decorate the code in some way with, you know, restrict AMP. And then that function compiles the GPU and runs with the GPU. You don't have to actually learn about the GPU or how it works or all these things or a specific language just for the GPU.
Benefits.
It's C++ running on the GPU. You get tremendous performance improvements out of that for the scenarios that matter. So
let me say something about that, including the future of C++ AMP in future releases and also with standardization, because people care about that.
Yeah.
So one of the things we've been working on very much, we as Microsoft, together with our friends at NVIDIA and Intel, as well as other folks in the standards committee membership, is working on parallel STL, which is going to be, it looks like, in the next year-ish or a parallel technical specification for C++ out of the C++ committee, sort of a side document from the
awesome.
C++ standard. That is largely based on PPL, AMP, and NVIDIA's Thrust library, as well as a few others.
Great.
But it's sort of a convergence. So as you look at it, you may not even recognize the syntax as being similar. Mm-hmm. But that is very much a direct evolution of C++ AMP in a place where more and more people can use it.
I mean, look, man, the fact is that one of the popular things that going native, all the talks were popular, of course. But I think people really love the work that's going on with async, adding await to C++, the language, and really like that because... You know, if you can standardize the whole parallelism thing and blah, 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 concurrency, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Now we're going to enter the yes-no period, the binary phase of the interview, at least for a couple of these questions.
Okay.
So will code compiled in Visual C++ 2013 work in XP?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay. Any plans on ever using GCC or LLVM as a backend?
Not currently.
No.
I don't like those kind. I don't like this game. This is no fun. So, you know, that's an interesting question because we had talked about you have the front end, which of course the IDE is like a form of compilers, and you have the language compiler and blah blah blah. Then you have the back end.
Yes.
So, It's a fair question. Like, are you always going to make your own back end? Will you just stick something else in there, or let us choose?
Charles, always is a long time.
Thank you. Okay.
So no plans.
No plans. Will we ever see PEX and debugger canvas research projects on Visual C++? So he's talking, of course, the RISE team, the wonderful research team. They've done a thing called PEX and MOLES, and it tends to be all sort of focused on .NET. So you should really ask them that question.
Let's talk about it. Code analysis, it's well integrated. We work with our code analysis team, and we keep on adding, features and reuse to that. Mm-hmm. There is a small present on RISE for fun of the Visual C++ compiler that I'm going to make sure to
there's
update.
There's a small person?
It's a small presence there. There is one of the ties there.
I'm just playing.
Yes.
So there, you guys did have the compiler in the sky experiment, right?
Yes.
So the C++ project properties window hasn't evolved that much in the past 10 years. So what's going on?
Yeah, it's a sore pain point.
Okay.
I think that's
it's
resizable now. I think if that counts for anything, but it's kind of like 12 years too late for that one. But duly noted. Yes, we should make that better. Yep.
So speaking of legacy, and this of course always comes up, it's going to be a thorn if you look at it as a thorn for quite some time. But what advice do you have for the old school legacy MFC people? Will there be improvements to MFC? So it's sort of like becoming equivalent to, is there going to be a new version of WPF? What's new in WPF? Blah, blah, blah. What about for MFC? Like, what are we going to tell these people, and really what's happening in reality?
You know, that's a great question. I kind of take that question a bit bigger. It's like, what's the UI framework you should use when you're creating applications for the Windows desktop, right?
Okay.
We love the Windows desktop, and we think it's very important. And what is the UI framework you should actually use? That is one of the very hot topics inside Microsoft now. I don't think I have a clear answer for you. Like, none of us is going to have a clear answer for you right now. With that said, it's a very important topic for us. For MFC, here's what you can expect. Mm-hmm. We'll continue to support it, obviously. We're not going to go and say, no more MFC for you. Next release, you don't have it. All practical purposes, our intention is that the next release continue to have MFC. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make significant major investments. There are currently no plan on completely revamping MFC or modernizing MFC in a very significant way.
Okay.
But we're looking at this as a sort of a part of a bigger thing that we need to answer and provide for our customers, which is we definitely care about desktop development. We understand that most of our developers are there today, mm-hmm. and we absolutely need to have a good answer for what UI framework that you should
use.
We just don't have it for you today.
The desktop is still there, right? WinRT runs on top of it, in fact. Okay. So MBix wants to know, and I can answer this, but you can answer it. Will there be something like NuGet specifically for C++? Yes, it's called NuGet for C++.
Yeah. Support.
Okay.
We have that, and we're working on more.
Right on.
Yeah. So, Visual Studio 2013, download it.
Play right on. And Going Native, you didn't watch Going Native, man? So I can't use AMP unless I can use it on Mac, Clang,
cross-platform.
Any hope?
Yeah, right?
That's so very good.
Didn't we just announce that at the AMD?
We did announce it.
In fact, just a few days ago.
Yeah.
So AMD announced. Do you want to do the honors?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, a Clang-based compiler, a Clang LVM-based compiler targeting, say, HSAIL, and so you're seeing more and more partners coming up. That's one of the reasons we made the AMP spec and open spec to begin with.
Actually, we do that not just for AMP. Like, all new technologies that we introduce, if it's part of your code that we believe needs to be cross-platform core, we try to make sure that that's available on multiple platforms. That's why we make Casablanca and the C++ REST that they get, for example, an open source library. That's why we're working with people bringing it to other platforms.
That's why we bring the async to the standard.
That's right.
And not just doing it some. Yeah.
Async await.
Right? Yeah, await, sorry, yes.
So will the next VC++ CTP, you mentioned that, Herb, and Ben wants to know, include support for generic lambdas and or captures for expressions?
Watch VC blog. I did report 2 months ago at Going Native the roadmap and that was a medium probability feature.
Okay.
We'll have more information certainly in the next weeks, because we promise to show you that by the end of the year.
So this is the question. Let's ask this, because there's going to be people out there who are new to C++, right? They hear things like generic lambdas. What's the big deal with generic lambdas?
So generic lambdas are more than just a convenience feature where you don't have to say the type as often. The short answer is they are the most, probably in my opinion, the single most requested feature in the new C++ standard, mm-hmm. C++
really?
14 over C++ 11.
Wow.
So C++ 14 is an incremental release that has, half a dozen new features. That's the one that people I see most waiting for. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Scott Myers has been bugging me about it for 5 years.
Right on. Well, that should tell you something.
By itself, yeah.
Right on. So Zio wants to know, can you expand on, apparently somebody mentioned this, VC++ not having had an AST. So can you expand on VC++ not having had an AST? I guess that's the abstract syntax tree?
Yes, yes, that's it. You know, and
how do you
our compiler is really, you know, started, I guess, 20 years ago. I mean, of course, more than that, yes. But the Visual C++ anniversary was 20. Yeah. So, you know, at the time, you know, memory was really scarce and so on. So we were trying to do everything in one place, in one pass. I mean, we were building trees and throwing them away as soon as possible. So what you mentioned, actually, we are going through both introducing new features, but also rejuvenating our compiler code base. Mm-hmm. And so we are creating more and more, you know, of these ASTs that need to be used for a feature like ConstExpert, for example, or for more static analysis.
Great.
And so, and all this is coming in the compiler as we, you know, we run our test, we build Windows every day, and we give it to you. So a little bit of this coming, the compiler is rejuvenating, new feature coming in, and this keep on going for
a
while.
And this is one of the reasons why I said earlier that when we talked about investing in the front end in conformance,
it was
ramping up a pipeline, where we said, yes, we're doing it, and in fact we were, but you didn't see as many results right away. Mm. That's because generally, we made this mistake with variadic templates, we won't do it again, is we're implementing it in the rejuvenated part of the compiler. We implement the new features once the compiler has been updated to do it. So there was a bit of lag to get started. That's why you're starting to see an accelerated rate of shipping features.
Because now
the pipeline's full, and now you're starting to get that throughput and bandwidth.
Awesome. And if it can compile Windows efficiently and effectively and with, you know, provable results, rock and roll. People need to remember
it's
that.
It's not public yet, the ASTs.
Okay, it's not public yet.
So,
I believe we have to go. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have one of those ear things in, but I'm looking at the numbers on the thing.
Kind of
actually, they're growing, so I guess we're over time. Yes. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And it's been wonderful having these conversations with you guys over
Thanks,
the years.
Charles.
Love the
Thanks, Charles.
Cheers. Thanks for the great questions.